So a little bit of Chazara. I'm doing this on my phone because I didn't print out those pages. As you can see, the printer is pretty beat up already. So the first thing that we did last week is we were discussing the concept of leisure time and whether or not there is such a concept of as leisure time. And the first thing we quoted was the Gemara Menachos, a scary Gemara, that says that Ben Dama, the sister of Rabbi Shmuel, once came to Rabbi Shmuel and asked, when can I find time? I've learned all of Torah. Can I find time to learn Greek wisdom? That's what he wanted to know. And Rabbi Shmuel said, if you can find a time that is not day nor night, then sure. Because the pasuk says in Yoshua, that you have to be learning Torah all the time, and during day and during night. So if you find such a time, there was a dissenting view, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, who said that those words were not a commandment, they were just a blessing, but it seems to be that Rabbi Shmuel was very serious about this, and it kind of accepted that this was a proper position. The Shulchan Aruch paskins also that if a person could be learning and he's not, then he's violating something. He's bichlal ki devar Hashem baza. This is the kind of person that is disgracing God's name. And the Rama comments and says vasula daber b'sichat chulin. Shouldn't be speaking stam discussion. Okay, so that's one side of the spectrum. Very, very harif side of the spectrum. On the other side, however, or somewhat on the other side, we had a Mishnah that likes to get thrown around a lot nowadays. Yafet Talmud Torah im derech eretz, shigiat shnei mishkachat avon. V'chol Torah sheini mamalacha, sofa b'teila v'goreret avon. This is a Mishnah that says that when a person should spend his time learning, but he also has to spend his time in derech eretz. Now, when the Mishnah uses the word derech eretz, it doesn't mean being polite, it means working. A person should have work for a living, he should make money, it should do malacha. And that is for two reasons. Number one, he needs to be able to make money in a legitimate way so he doesn't have to steal. And number two, so that he has something to do with the time that he's not learning, so he's not sitting idle. Idle hands are the devil's playthings, as the phrase goes, which means that a person who doesn't have anything to do is going to get involved in bad things, not just the neutral things.
Then you can't get out of the bad things.
Right. So that's not good. So, but nevertheless, it opens the petach at least that there's something other than Torah, that there's supposed to be derech eretz. So that's a little bit to the side of the Gemara in Menachos. Further, there's a Mishnah in Masechet Kala, which is something we don't usually learn, but it does exist, that says that l'halacha, if a man tells his wife that she's not allowed to work, she's not allowed to do things, so she's allowed to demand a get from him. Because shiamum, batala mevi'al idei shiamum, she'll become bored, and shiamum is very, very bad. And so she's allowed to demand a get and demand to be divorced, and she gets her and she gets what she's promised. Then we moved on to Rav Saad Yagon. Rav Saad Yagon in his Sefer Amunas Vadeos, he evaluates different approaches to life. And one of the approaches.
Is he still alive today, Saad Yagon?
No.
He died when?
Year 1000, something like that. 1000 years ago. So he evaluates different approaches to life. And one of the approaches, the last approach to life that he evaluates, is an approach that says, okay, the most important thing is to have a good time. Most important thing is to enjoy your life. And he brings in, he says, this is Rav Saad Yagon. He evaluates an approach. He rejects the approach, but while evaluating the approach, he says, you know, some people say that that's the best thing to do is to have a good time in life. And those people point to the fact that, you know, this is what people like to do. If you have a person who has the opportunity, for example, you take a king, a person who doesn't have to work for his living, he wakes up late, he spends his whole day eating and enjoying himself, and he goes to jousts, and he goes to the theater, that's what he does, which means that that's what a person should be doing. If you don't have to work, then you shouldn't work, and you should just enjoy yourself. So Rav Saad Yagon says, that is what people think, but that is a big mistake. That's obviously not why we're here. And you get lost in ta'ava. But he ends up saying, at least, that this should be... You can turn it off for a little bit. I mean,
yeah,
definitely
we don't
need it.
No, leave it. It's all right.
A person should be able to balance that in his life. He should have a little bit of tanug. But in general, he should spend his time on more serious things, on pursuit of mitzvot. A person has to balance his life. So Rav Saad Yagon at least enters the idea that there has to be a balance, and that it's healthy.
I wonder if wonder if Sadia God himself spent a lot of time at leisure.
No idea. No idea. He was either learning, he was fundraising for his yeshiva. Whether he was happy or not, that there was the argument was that if a person like that, this is what he spends his time doing, that it makes sense that this is what you should be aspiring to. He rejects that. He says that's not correct. But he does end up saying that of all the different approaches to life, they should be balanced. They should be merged. And so there should be a time set aside for enjoying yourself because it's healthy. But it shouldn't be all of your time. The Rambam also enters into this and says, famous Rambam that says that a person has to have a healthy body in order to have a healthy mind. So a person should specifically, he shouldn't be sedentary, he has to get involved himself in exercise, because if he doesn't involve himself in exercise, then his mind is going to go lazy as well. And a person should eat properly, Chodesh Briyut, because if he doesn't eat properly, then his body also is going to fail him. So he also, the idea of exercise, he enters the idea that I don't think he's talking about exercising in Torah. He means physically, you need to be exercising.
Our cousin Shmuel once had a sefer with the Rambam's dietary recommendations, and he followed the Rambam's diet.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
he lost weight following the Rambam's diet.
Okay.
Still alive?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's pushing Amy.
Now, the most charif, the most...
That's not being recorded, by the way.
Most, it is, but the most important and charif, but I'm not sure he's going to listen to Vayu Torah. The most charif and important version of this, like I said last time, Rav Schechter quotes this all the time, but I never actually saw it inside until last week when I was able to find it, is the Sefer Chovas HaLevavos, Rabbeinu Bachai ibn Pakuda. So he writes that people tend to think intuitively, that there are at least three categories in life. There are things that are asur, there are things that are mutar, and then there are things that are sur, there are things that are mitzvah, chova, and then there are things that are mutar, that are neutral. You're allowed to do them if you want. And that's, you know, if you go that way, then that's like 80% of life, right? There are things that you're not allowed to do, and then there's the things that you have to do, and then there's the rest of your day, which is taken up with things that you either want or don't want to do. That's how Rabbeinu Bachaye looks at things. But that's what he says. People look at things, but he rejects that. He says, no. In life, there's only asur and mitzvah. That's all there is. Everything that you do in life has to be balanced on the scale of, is this asur or is this chayav right now? Do I have to do it? Sometimes the things that I have to do may be things that we might call leisure. I may need to go take a walk now. No, I'm not going to take leisure. That's a lesion. That's a lesion with an N at the end.
That's what it sounds like you're saying.
Okay. A person has to engage in some form of pleasant living, right? He has to take walks. He has to get exercise, like the Rambam says. He has to spend time with his family. He has to, maybe he has to go take a nap sometimes. And every time he does that, it should be considered a mitzvah. My best friend in yeshiva, he put up a piece of paper on the wall next to his bed that said one word, why. People who walked by didn't know what it was, but I knew what it was. It was, every night before you go to sleep, you think to yourself, why am I going to sleep? So that when I wake up, I have koch to learn Torah. He's still like that. But that's the approach of Rabbeinu Bachaye, who says everything is either chayav or asur. And that means that if right now you don't need to go take a walk, then taking a walk is asur. Even though there's no, you know, it's not one of the 365 isurim in the Torah.
What makes it a need?
It's asur.
What makes it a need?
You need to evaluate whether or not it's needed.
I'm evaluating it myself, whether
yes.
I need it.
Yes. And you have to be able to figure that out.
Subjective.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and which just means for each person is different. But there is an absolute criteria where it's needed or it's not needed, and you're the one who decides that. It says, everything is either tov or ra, v'hamaskil, a person who's smart, sheshokel et ma'asav kodem azotam b'mishkal hazeh, he has to evaluate it on this balance, v'yivchan otam b'machshavto atova, v'koach hakarato, he has to figure out for himself. Yivchar b'tov mehem b'yazov zulato, he picks the good stuff and he gets rid of the bad stuff. Okay. Now, is that the only game in town? Okay, so first of all, I don't know if this is the same in the same vein, but it's definitely a source that you all should know. We talked about this last time. We're very, very excited to see this source. You know that there are 48 Kinyani Torah. Yes? 48 Kinyani Torah in the Brisa at the end of Pirkei Avos. 48 different ways of acquiring Torah. In that list over there, there are a few that aren't surprising. The Mishnah says, Miut Shena, Miut Sicha, Miut Tanug, Miut Schok, Miut Derech Eretz. A person should have... he should try to be memayit in his discussion. He should try to be memayit in sleeping. Tereki? No, it was right. Oh. He should try to not have too much tanug, too much sicha, too much sleeping. And it makes a lot of sense. You know, if a person wants to become big in Torah, so then he has to involve himself in... he has to try to reduce his dependence on this world. But the Sefer Tiferes Yisrael, we saw Lifshitz, says an amazing thing over here. He says, that's not what miut sicha means and miut tanuk. You know what it means? He says, dvarim shel mabakach. First of all, it means talking about things that are not really important. But he says, miuto yafela Torah. Kedei shetanuach hanefesh ksat ayidei zeh. He says, talking about these things, getting involved in these things, is actually good ultimately for Torah because your nefesh, your soul and your psyche will be relaxed. And then you'll be able to learn better and you'll be able to do better in life. This could be the same as Rabbeinu Bechaye, but he at least is taking it to that next level and saying sometimes those things that we consider shtuyot can actually be good for you. All right? Now, is there another approach that says that we don't have to look at it so stark? So Rav Kook comments on the Gemara. The Gemara talks about Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda maintains that Ben HaShmashot is an extended period of time, and Rabbi Yossi maintains that Ben HaShmashot is a instantaneous period of time. It's here and gone. Yeah, we pass on like Rabbi Yehuda, but that is a position. Rav Kook says, what are they arguing about? He says, they're actually arguing about what we're talking about right now. There are two positions. There's the... So he says, there is Rabbeinu Bechaye that we've said. He's like Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, you're either here or you're there. There's no in between. There's no in between. But then there's Rabbi Yehuda. He quotes a Ravid. I actually think I found the Ravid. I was in the Kola. I was looking at the Sefer Baalei Nefesh. That's the name of the Sefer, which is really about Hilchos Nida. But towards the end, I saw in the index that there's a section about how a person should approach Ta'ava. And I think I found the section that Rav Kook is talking about where he seems to imply that there are different ways to approach Ta'ava. And then there are people who see, you know, who... The example that he's coming up with is there are some people who are with their wives simply for the purpose of reproduction. Or simply for the purpose of giving her pleasure to fulfill the mitzvah of Ona. And then there are people who are with their wives because they enjoy it. And what do you say about that? That's, you know, that's perfectly natural. So he says, look, person who does that is not being mekayim a mitzvah. It's not the highest level. But there's nothing usher about it. So I think Rav Kook looks at that. I don't know if it's a stretch or not. Rav Kook looks at that and says, there is a source for the idea that there are things that are asur, there are things that are mutar, and there are things that are mitzvah. And Rav Kook, and Rav the Ravid is saying that being with your wife, not for the sake of reproduction, not for the sake of fulfilling the mitzvah of Ona, it's not a sewer. It's perfectly fine. It's not the highest level, but it is. It is what it is. And so Rav Kook says, that's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, Ben HaShmashos is an extended period of time, and in that period of time, it's not day, and it's not night, it's not good, it's not bad. It's just neutral. It is what it is. And a person is allowed to be involved in things that are neutral. And he says that that's the Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. That's Rav Kook says, and the Gemara. That's pretty much where we left off last time. All right.
Doesn't mean that you're allowed to be involved in things that are neutral just during the Ben HaShmashos, does it?
You mean physically? No, he's like saying a metaphor.
Just a metaphor.
Okay. As a metaphor. Okay, so this is where we're picking up now. So far we've talked about that from the perspective of, you know, is it either here or there? Is there room for neutrality? How about the question of what fits into the category of, you know, fun versus mitzvah or something like that? So here's a surprising case. The Shulchan Aruch talks about a person being allowed to go on a trip before Shabbos. Right? We know that a person is not supposed to go on a boat trip before Shabbos, 3 days before Shabbos, because he may get stuck out there. But there, under certain circumstances, he is allowed to go. For purposes of mitzvah, he's allowed to go. So what kind of circumstances, what is considered a mitzvah such that he's allowed to do that? So he says, for example, the Shulchan Aruch says, Ha'olah le'eretz Yisrael, im nizdam de lo shayar afilu be'erev Shabbos. A person is allowed to go on Aliyah, even if it's on Erev Shabbos, he's allowed to get on the boat. I actually made Aliyah on a Friday. We were supposed to make Aliyah on like a Wednesday, and then there was a whole balagan, and then we got pushed off, and then we made Aliyah, the flight left on a Thursday, we got in on Friday morning. It was perfectly fine. It was a late Shabbos, and we got in early in the morning, and we weren't on a chartered Nefesh B'Nefesh flight, so we were in and out, like really quick. They were prepared for us. They had everything that we needed when we got there, and we were in and out. We got there in the morning. Yeah. Baruch
Hashem. So if you were in Cyprus and you could get a boat that would enable you to make Aliyah to Israel, you would be allowed to leave at 1 o'clock on Friday afternoon.
Kevin did the Bar Mitzvah, who? Yachal Lifrosh. Yeah.
Even if you're in charge of the boat.
What do you mean you're in charge of the boat?
You're driving the boat.
I don't know. I don't know. Possibly yes. The point over here is that you've put yourself into a case of piguach nefesh, but you did it before Shabbos, right? That's the issue over here. The issue is, once you're on the boat and it's Shabbos, you can do anything because it's piguach nefesh. What are you going to do? Question is, could you have arranged to be on the boat 3 days before? That's the whole shiloh over here.
How are you allowed to take a risk or not? You're allowed to take a risk for a mitzvah. You're not allowed to take a risk.
So what reaches that level? So you might be surprised.
You can't get off the boat.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do.
You can be on the boat, but you can't get off the boat.
No, you're not supposed to be on a boat on Shabbos.
You're not supposed to be on a boat on Shabbos. If you are going to be, then you shouldn't get off.
But once you're on a boat on Shabbos, you shouldn't jump off.
He's traveled plenty of boats.
Like there are lots of these kosher cruises when you start on Sunday and then ask for 2 weeks.
So I don't know exactly how they get around it. I assume...
They keep going.
Yeah, but first of all, once you're outside of... I don't exactly know what they do.
You cannot get off a boat on Shabbos to do.
That's true.
I mean, it's Friday afternoon. If you know Shabbos is coming in at 6,
all right.
6 o'clock, you can't get off the boat at 4 o'clock.
I would say at least a third, there were 3,000 people on the boat. I would say at least 1,000 were Jews.
Yeah, I'm sure that there's a way around
it. But
that's not what we're talking about over here. We're talking about going from place A.
4 o'clock in
David, one second.
Shabbos is coming in at 6.
Going on a boat from point A to point B, as it's going to go over Shabbos, that's an issue.
What's the svarah? One's an asse, one's a lois asse.
Well, there's a tchum Shabbos issue. There's all kinds of issues.
Oh, but why is it okay? Like to make aliyah is which mitzvah?
Making aliyah.
Mitzvah.
Yeah.
Well, to the Shabbos is also asse and lois asse. So why is it mutter?
Because you're not when you get on that boat on a Thursday, you're not violating Shabbos.
We're not talking about traveling on Shabbos, right? We're talking about traveling when you're
going to be. You get on a boat on a Thursday. You're not violating Shabbos.
Assuming that you're going to be on the boat on Shabbos.
Yes, but when you get on the boat on Thursday, you have not violated Shabbat.
Okay, and you mean just being on a boat on Shabbos is not you're not being over.
It is a problem to be on a boat on Shabbat. That is a problem, but on Thursday, you didn't do anything wrong in theory. Isn't this a darabanan to get on because you will be on the boat on Shabbos? That's an issue. But what you did on Thursday, midaraisa for sure, is nothing. You didn't do anything. Now the Ramah comments over here. He says, "Yesh omrim, kol makom shadam holech leschora, o lirot pnei chavero, chashuv hakol dvar mitzvah ve'enu chashuv bedvar reshut." All right, put that away in your pocket. All right, you pull that out whenever you feel like it. Says the Ramah just said that going on a boat for the sake of business, to make money for a living, and going on a boat to see a friend is considered a dvar mitzvah and not a dvar rishus.
I'm going on a boat just
Rak sha'olech letayel. If you go for a cruise, if you go from point A to point B for the sake of going on a trip to see the Alps, that could be a problem. But going to see a friend, going to see family, or going to do business, mitzvah. All right?
But why would people want to go on a boat to do business? Because it takes too long.
Which mitzvah?
We have to go.
Flight to the
mitzvah of being with your family.
It's 11 hours.
Many cases people are mekel because it's all considered a mitzvah. That's the Ramah. Now, what does that mean? That means I wasn't even so much focusing on the work, the pnei chaveiro. Okay? So that means that hanging out with friends,
it's a
legitimate form of mitzvah.
Did he say he's going to see a friend is for work?
No. No. No, those are two separate things.
Or
he's
going to see one or the other.
About the
chod
nida, about just being with your wife. That's the whole thought. Being with your wife.
Right.
It's not watching a movie by yourself for the fun of it.
Good.
Right? There's a difference. Going to see a friend is different.
So that's one of the things that I wanted to say, y'all. Thank you for hitting on that. Is that this is already finding terutzim. This is finding other approaches already. But I think there is room to say that many of the leisure activities that we engage in, especially married people, are with our wives or with our family, and that already kind of elevates whatever it is that you're doing, no matter what you're doing, to at least a different status than just stam wasting time.
Where's this
The Ramah, Shochan Aruch, Chaim, Reish Mem Chet, Seif Dalet.
Is this Stam Chavero, or is this really supposed to be Chavero?
I don't think so. Pnei Chavero. Leroth Pnei Chavero. It doesn't say Leroth Pnei Rabbo. Doesn't say that. Reish Chavrusa, I don't think that's not a word that. I don't think Chavrusa is really a word that shows up in Shochan Aruch.
Right, Chavero would
be. I don't think so.
How about your Chavrusa you don't actually like?
I don't think so. All right, we're not going to get into that. Now, taking even a step further, though, because actually the Shulchan Aruch seems to reject this, the Chumas HaDeshen, he quotes a different halacha. He says, the Chumas HaDeshen is one of the major, major Ashkenazi Rishonim, quoted in Shulchan Aruch. I think almost every tshuva the Chumash HaDeshen wrote. You always, as a rabbi, I'm obligated to say the Chumash HaDeshen wrote both the questions and the answers in his book. Every time you quote the Chumash HaDeshen, you have to say that. I think almost every tshuva that he actually wrote is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. You know how many tshuvas he wrote? It's easy to figure out because it's in the name of the book. It's in HaDeshen. So if you do the gematria of HaDeshen, that's actually the amount of that's the amount of tshuvas that he wrote. So if you do the gematria, is 359. What is it? 359. Yeah. So I believe that's the amount, if I remember correctly. So he asked the question. So what's the question he asked himself? The question he asked himself is: Had the pasuk agonim shasur la'arev eruv tchumin el dvar mitzvah? So the gonim say that you're only allowed to make an eruv tchumin for the sake of a mitzvah. Let's say you have a nice orchard outside of the Tchum Shabbos. Says, if I want to go there on Yom Tov, can I make an Erev Tchum just for the sake of going there just to have fun and to walk, you know, to take a nice long walk through my orchard? Are you allowed to do that? So he says, because going for a walk on Yom Tov, mitzvah. Hach yitzah ba'ashiri. Okay, he quotes different places, and then he says the Ramban: the im rotzah la'arev kedei lahakbil pnei rabo o chavero haba min haderech shari. Also, seeing your friend on Yom Tov is also considered a mitzvah. These are all things that the halacha recognizes as being of value. I don't think he means mitzvah as in you're going to pick one of the tayag mitzvahs over here, although maybe you could if you wanted to. I think he means that these are things that are of value. So anything that, I think, anything that has positive social value can already be considered not something that's a waste of time. Okay, so that is, I think, also another avenue. And this is kind of getting to what Yoel was saying, which is one of the things that I wanted to say, is that as social beings, almost most of the activities that we engage in, whether it's, you know, it could be even watching a movie with your wife. It could be playing basketball with friends. It could be taking a walk with a friend or going on a picnic. It could be any of these things. That's not a waste of time. It's by definition not a waste of time. even mivchinat halacha. So that's true. Now,
how does that jive with the people, with those who say that Yisrael and every single moment of your time is spent learning Torah? These two are in conflict.
Yeah. So the Gemara Menachos is a really hard line, and whereas the Shulchan Aruch kind of quotes it, you could read that. One way you can get out of that is that Rabbi Yishmael is talking to a specific type of person. The person who came to him came to ask him, "I've already learned all of Torah. Can I start learning Chachma Yevanis?" That's not me, and it's not anybody in this room, I think. So it could be that there's a sliding scale over there. Rabbi Shmuel was giving an answer to the person who asked him the question. That's what I would suggest. And I think it's mashma in the Gemara, in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch actually, when he kind of channels this Gemara, he says, anybody who could be learning and does not, it's Kidvar Hashem Baza. You could read that Shulchan Aruch as a person who is Ra'ui, that he should be spending all of his time. Yeah, Rabbi Yashiv, Zatzal, shouldn't be going to movies, even with his wife. Right, I wouldn't want to tell them to do, even though Rabbi Soloveitchik famously went to the opera, and you know these people weren't against going around with to do these kinds of things. But you might say that it's specifically those people, and it's not true of everybody necessarily. Either way, the Shulchan Aruch legitimizes it. So that is a really really important point. The other point that I would make, and I want to draw this. We'll read it in the Shulchan Aruch, and then I want to draw it out because I think this is an important point. First, the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Darash Bar Kapara Ezo Parasha Ktana Shakol Gufei Torah Tulin Ba." What is a small parasha, a small pasuk in Tanakh? It's a pasuk in Mishlei, which Kol Gufei Torah Tulin Ba. The whole Torah is found in this pasuk. It says, "Bekol Dvarchecha De'ehu V'hu Yiyasher Or Chartecha Amarava Afilu L'Dvar Avera." Amazing thing. So the pasuk in Mishlei says, in all your ways you should know him, and he will straighten your paths. And Rava says, afilu dvar avera. Very, very strange line that Rava says. He seems to be talking about avera lishma. Sometimes a person can do an avera, and since it's lishma, we don't do this anymore, it's okay. We don't do that anymore. But what does the Gemara mean when it says, b'chol drachecha de'ehu, and that kol gufi Torah tulin bas? Look at the Shulchan Aruch. You should find the Shulchan Aruch. It's in Reish Lamed Aleph. Shulchan Aruch Reish Lamed Aleph. It's in the doc that I sent to all of you. I sent the link in the WhatsApp group. If you just open it up, everything I'm saying is in there. This is one se'if in Shulchan Aruch. It's only one se'if in the Siman. And it's basically how you should spend your day. That's what he's basically saying. Okay? Page 4. The bottom of page 4. Shulchan Aruch says, Im I efshar lo lilmod belo shenat tzatzarayim yishan. A person cannot learn, right? He wants to learn during the day. If he cannot learn without taking a nap in the afternoon, he should sleep. And the Rama comments, ukshenayor mishnato ein tzarech levarech alokai neshama. Just know that when you wake up, you don't have to say alokai neshama. And then the Shulchan Aruch continues, v'yeshom shikra kodem sheyishan v'hi noam. Okay, fine. This is just the halacha. U'bavad sholei arich b'shasor lishan b'yom yoter mishenat asus shehu shitin nishmi. Okay, he tells you exactly how long you should sleep, about 60 minutes. V'av b'zeh amad lo tehe kavanatan l'hanat gufo. Here's the part. When you sleep, it should not be for the sake of pleasure. Ela l'achzik gufo l'avodat Hashem Yitbarach. V'chein kol ma sheyaneu v'lam hazeh lo yichaven l'hanato. Everything you do, you should do, don't have in mind to do it for your own pleasure. Ela l'avodat Hashem Yitbarach. Have in mind to do it for Hashem. K'dechtiv b'chol drachecha dehu. V'amru chachamim kol ma'asech yu l'shem shamayim. Everything you do should be l'shem shamayim. Shafilu dvarim shal reshut. K'gon ha'achila v'ashtia v'halicha v'yeshiva v'akim. Whether it is eating or drinking or walking or sitting or standing or sleeping with your wife, asicha or talking, chol tzarche gufcha, yu kulam lavodat barecha. Everything should be the sake of God. This is Shulchan Aruch. Oledvar gorim avodato shafilu hayat samei vareev. If you were thirsty or hungry, imachal v'shatal lahanato eno mishubach. If you're just eating or drinking for your own sake, for your own pleasure, ali itkaven sheyochal v'yishtek v'chiyuto. You should eat and drink just for enough so you can live. Lavor et baro. V'chein afilu leishev besod yisharim v'lamod b'makom tzadikim v'leilech b'atzat tmimim im yaseh l'anat atzmo v'hishlim chavtzo v'tavato einu mishubach alim ken asa l'shem shamayim. And he continues on this way, as you can imagine. What I want to say, I can't say that this is what the Shulchan Aruch means, but it's what I would want to suggest. Something for, I think, for people like us. what Rabbeinu Bechaye said. What? For sure. What Rabbeinu Bechaye said is a very, very high level. You have to be shokel beforehand everything that you do and decide, is this necessary or is it not necessary? Right? I think there is a weak version of that.
That's what they're saying here.
It does sound like what the Shulchan Aruch is saying, but I can read something else in, though. Allow me to try to read something else in. Rabbeinu Bechaye is using what I would call an inside-out approach. All right? He's saying that you need a reason to have fun. Anytime you're about to engage in something, you should always be thinking to yourself, is this necessary for me or is it not necessary for me? If it is, I'll do it. If it's not, I'm not going to do it. If it's not necessary, I'm not going to do it. But there is another way of looking at it, which is outside in. And what that is you find yourself already doing it. Okay? You want to do it, so you do it. You're not going to hell for that. Because there's still a way. You can say, all right, I'm going to do it. And then while I'm doing it, toch kedei, I will try to find some meaning in this. I will try to find a way that even post facto, even as a justification, even as a way of redeeming it afterwards, I say, I will somehow integrate this into my spiritual life. All right, you find yourself watching a TV show that has no, you know, it was not because you needed to watch it. It was not because you were told by your Rebbe that you have to watch it. But you find yourself watching it. Seder, and let's say it doesn't contain any objectionable content. You find yourself watching it. You can think to yourself, all right, this makes me think. I'm going to think about the issues. I'm not going to watch this blindly. I'm not going to just watch it and just sit here. I'm going to think about it. Maybe I'll think of a joke from it afterwards that I can tell somebody about it. Maybe I'll think about how I can connect this to an important principle in life. I will find some kind of way of making this meaningful for me later. I think that is and a reasonable approach. You always give me a lot of faces.
Wait a second. What's a reasonable approach in life or within what the Rambam is saying?
I can't say that it fits into all of the words of the Shulchan Aruch. I can say that when he says a person should not have in mind only Hana'at Atzmo. So I say, you're right. Don't have in mind only Hana'at Atzmo. You find yourself getting involved in some form of Hana'ah. So try to redeem it afterwards. I know that it's not necessarily the Shulchan Aruch.
It should not be. It should be only for Hashem.
Okay, that maybe it's not only Shulchan. Maybe it's not the Shulchan Aruch. Maybe it's not the Shulchan Aruch.
The Shulchan Aruch is talking about the ideal.
Fine. So what I'm suggesting, though, is a meaningful, reasonable approach. I think for people.
It's a practical advice of what you should do. Knowing the fact that we're not...
Which I think, you know, is a watered-down version of Rabbeinu Bechaye. Rabbeinu Bechaye says, beforehand, you have to be shokel, beforehand, do I need to do this or not? What I'm suggesting is, you're going to find yourself doing it anyways, even when you don't make that decision beforehand. Try afterwards to find some kind of thing that you can get out of it.
What we're talking about here is, there's a madriga to strive for. And I don't know if... I'll speak for myself. I don't know anybody in my category who'll reach that madriga. So what you're saying, if I understand you correctly, is what I'm doing, try and bring it towards that madriga.
I'm just playing basketball,
to make myself healthier.
Now I can help you with it.
You think about it somehow.
It will inspire.
To go do some sport.
Go to some sport, which.
Which will improve your.
I think what it does is, at the very least, it helps you stay in the mindset of trying to find meaning, and staying in the mindset of a non-wasteful approach to life.
There was a period of my life where I thought in this way, and I found it very detrimental because all it did was bring on guilt.
And thinking in the Rabbeinu Bechaye way, it gives you less guilt?
No, it's just like the mindset that I found more helpful was this is the level that I'm on. There are only a certain amount of hours in the day where I'm capable to apply my Yiddishkeit or like
be a from a yid. These hours of the day, I'm doing a yog. I'm not doing a from a yid. I'm like football. I'm playing basketball. I'm riding my bike. I'm doing.
Doesn't mean that.
Have nothing to do with Avodas Hashem. And this is what I need to be able to be Mekayim.
Okay, so that's the...
Doesn't mean you're not from a yid, you're not eating chazal while you're riding
your
bike.
But to kid myself that the reason that I'm cycling down a mountain is so that I have the car to go and sit in the car the next day is a little stretched. And if I start saying to myself, oh no, you're doing this, it's because it gives you more steigen, it's just...
No, but I'm not saying that. That would be a Rabbeinu Bechaya approach. What I'm saying is that you'll find something in there which is making you at least think, making you at least,
I can tell you there are fun things.
Let me put it in a different way.
Kosher fun things. You do find yourself thanking God. You do find that's yourself
it.
Blessing, thinking, wow,
that's
we're
it.
So blessed to enjoy this incredible Queen concert. Right?
That's it. That was my original intention.
Like, this is amazing. Queen.
That's it. That was my original intention. My original intention was to turn the whole thing on its head. Turn the whole thing on its head. That was my original intention. You're sitting there, you're watching a concert, you're watching a show, you're playing a sport, whatever you're doing. So Rabbeinu Bechaya would say, if this doesn't help you engage in more Torah and mitzvot, then it's worthless. But what we might say is, this is not a mitzvah in and of itself, but I can still find it meaningful and fun, and that fun can be connected to God.
Fun.
I'm enjoying God. I'm enjoying my life. Hashem wants me to enjoy my life.
Become a mitzvah once that's the mindset.
I think you might be right, but I think it's a very dangerous kovaim. If it becomes a mitzvah, then
like studying, like learning Torah.
There are different kinds of mitzvot. There are different levels, and then there are things that it's not one of the 613 mitzvot, but it becomes a meaningful act. My point is, it becomes a meaningful act.
It is. No, I think what I'm trying to make is that if you take a dangerous decision, you end up more comfortable in the amount of time that you set aside for things like that. And it's okay that I waste, during the World Cup, I waste 4 out of 5 hours a day because, it's for my own good. And you don't feel that maybe, carve out half an hour. You don't have to watch Costa Rica, Iran, or whatever Costa Rica played.
Serbia.
Yeah, exactly. If you have the mindset that it's okay, it's 100, it's then dangerous, and the things you mentally allow yourself to do.
And the other side is when you finish the game, you feel so guilty, and so you've wasted all this.
The balance.
And when you get after 120, they're going to ask you. You're going to hell. Yes,
You're right. It's a balance.
Where's the hell?
You're
going to get depressed every time you come back from
your fire. Are you Haredi and you have to be in the basement just every minute that you're not sleeping or eating? You have to be in the basement. Or are you less Haredi and then it's okay to go to the cinema and go to it's a different outlooks in life. Are you Rabbeinu Bechaya or are you B'nai Kiva? Hashkafa thing. It's completely down to how you lead your life. Of course it is.
It's a generalization.
How did he want to go to a movie?
It's a generalization. It's a generalization about how whether they spend their time learning or not. They may not go to. I think what one could say to you, okay, they're not going to the movie, so they're playing.
Basketball.
They're playing. Probably not playing basketball. They're playing chess.
Ask the mashkichim of the Haredi yeshivas who bring out the most incredible Talmidei Chachamim. Should a bacher aged 17 go and play basketball? They would say absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
He should spend all his time and invest all his time in learning Torah. Right? It would be completely pasnished. On the other hand, if you go all the way over to the Bnei Akiva yeshiva and you say to them, should the kids be playing basketball? Say, absolutely. It's an integral part of their lives. So is it right? Is it wrong? I don't know. I'm just saying. It's a question of scope. It's where you are.
Or the level that you are.
Yes. And then when you're not on that level of learning Torah all day long, so then you say to yourself, I need this to be able to allow myself to be able to.
That's what he's saying. If you're not at that level, what do you do with the time? You smoke? Or you run.
Well, you know that I don't smoke.
Or do you run? Or do you smoke or you run? That's what you have to consider, right? What are you doing now? Are you going to run or are you going to smoke? Because smoking has a negative effect compared to going out and running. If you're doing sport, it's nefesh b'ira v'guf bari, and so on. So
I think if you don't have a little bit of guilt, it's very easy to be drawn into the license that the freedom allows you. You know,
like
the license is okay to do these things because you need them to be able to.
So if you ask the Mashgiach of Hebron if a person is allowed to feel guilt, he'll say yes. How many commit suicide? Not that many from the guilt. So he can feel guilty his whole life. Nothing will happen to him.
I think
that wasn't my point.
It's that the
attitude towards allowing things which aren't necessarily what Rabbi Bechai would say are the right things, and enable a whole new world to open up of things that become permissive that maybe before, maybe they shouldn't be. And then you suddenly find yourself in an 80-20 situation where before you might have been 50-50, and it just takes away.
Even the yeshivas, they sit and learn all day, they do get a break, and they do have some relaxation time in between. Even the Rebbe will say, we're going to take a break and come back in an hour. Or come back in 2 hours or 3 hours.
Not when they're 13, not when they're
14. Not in any of these years, unless you're American. If you're American...
Yeah, they take lunch.
No, if you're American... Yeah, they have lunch. If you're an American, you're allowed to play basketball, by the way, in the yeshiva service.
Yeah.
It's really strange. If you're Israeli, it's awesome. If you're American, it's okay because... The Mashkiach accepts that it's a different culture. And the American kids are actually much better at being masculine, and therefore they're not going to be affected negatively from the basketball, therefore they are allowed to go out of the yeshiva.
If they're much better, you might attribute that to the fact that they're playing basketball, and they're healthier, and the healthy body gives them a healthy mind.
I think that I'm being serious about
it. I mean, that you talked about...
I think that's a fair argument.
Yeah, definitely.
But the point is that it's a different...
You can make that argument.
I agree. I think it's a different culture, different mindset.
Of course it's a different culture.
Different culture, different mindset. And I'm just saying...
They also work in all kinds of Michigan things that people don't do yet. I mean, they study... Study in yeshiva, I mean, after years, they go out to work eventually.
The Americans.
It doesn't happen here. Here, at the age of 37, 50, if you're not still studying.
That's
the 80-20. Now we're getting far afield of the later issue.
You learn in yeshiva, and he left the yeshiva, and he's working in high tech now.
Good.
So once you open up that door,
Rabbi Omsky,
to allowing things which are not Talmud Torah to be a mitzvah. I think a person
needs to use a seicha, and he has to figure out that that we still have the mitzvahs that are chovos, and a person should be involved in them, and that being involved in a mitzvah is more important than being involved in something that's rishos. But every person has to evaluate himself how much he can be involved in a mitzvah all the time. How much time he can spend on it.
I think what we say is a mitzvah.
It's to figure out to himself.
We say today everything is a mitzvah.
You have to be learning Torah. If you're not, if you've just finished work, you come home, you've eaten with your wife, your kids. What do you do now? 9 o'clock. What do you now do? Do you turn on the TV and watch Mondial? Or do you go to Rav Dan's shul? What do you do?
I think in today's world, we say
that's a good question. Well, we've self-selected. We've self-selected.
So would I.
Right.
That's the question.
Yes.
Is that guilt?
You're right.
Is that the right thing? Is that the wrong thing? Is that a mitzvah? Is it a mitzvah to stay at home and watch football with your
Very,
kids?
Very complicated.
It's like an amazing fantasy.
It's very hard for me to say to somebody, that they're violating an Avera if they decide they're going to stay home and watch the Mondial. It's very hard. But that's what Rabbi Bechai would say. It's very hard for me to say with a straight face. They're going to say to me, which Avera am I violating? I didn't do anything wrong.
Simon, I haven't watched any of the Mondial. It doesn't bother me, the Mondial.
Now, there was one more thing that we were going to look at. I don't know whether we're not going to really have time to go through the whole thing. And the truth is, I don't have it so strong in my mind. Rabbi Lamb wrote an article about this. Just a few of the points that he makes, though. are important. One of the questions that he asks, which is a question I've thought about a lot, in Judaism, what is the ikar? Work? What is the ikar? Work or rest? The time you spend working hard or the time you spend resting? This is an abstract question. Okay, if that's the case, then what's important, more important, the 6 days of the week or Shabbat? Is Shabbat there for the 6 days of the week or the 6 days of the week there for Shabbat?
Both.
Okay, well, if I had to make you choose.
If you didn't have work, what would you be resting from?
Okay.
You're resting from what?
Tishbot, right? So which is it? So one person might say that the purpose of Shabbat is to give us a break from the week so that we have strength to work the coming week.
And you don't work and you sit in the kollel the whole week studying Torah, then
you're doing Shabbat also.
By the way, let's focus on Shabbat for a second. One person might say the purpose of Shabbat, the purpose of it is to give us a day off during the week so that we can get back to work on Sunday. That's what Moshe told Paro when he instituted Shabbos and Mitzrayim. But another person, perhaps a former person, might say, no, we work the 6 days of the week, actually, this is not the former person, so that we can stop working on Shabbat. The only reason why we work is so that we will have kol torech be'erev Shabbat, yochal b'Shabbat. But the ikar is Shabbat. So which is it? Just a philosophical question. What does Judaism focus on? Does it focus on the rest, or does it focus on the work?
Why are we all?
I think it's both.
It's all that.
I think there are different functions in
I understand that it's both, but I don't know. I think it ought to be one or the other.
There's time for this and there's time for that, and they are equally
important. They contribute differently to your persona and what you do in your life. If you work and you wake up in the morning, you go to work. You don't have to be an Amharitz. You can do a Kiddush Hashem all day long.
I can't read this.
You can,
okay, and then what is
all day long? And you could.
And then what does Shabbat do?
Your midas all day long. You could be.
And what about rest? What about rest on Shabbat?
Rest on Shabbos, are you talking about sleeping? Or are you talking about...
Not working.
Not working. Why is that the question?
What is its purpose?
The purpose of Shabbos is different from the purpose of during the week. The purpose of Shabbos is to be more spiritual. The purpose of Shabbos is to learn Torah. More, the purpose of Shabbos is to...
Is the purpose of Shabbos to learn Torah? You know what the Shulchan Aruch says on the purpose of Shabbos is? It says people who work during the week should spend their day on Shabbos learning. So what do people who learn during the week do?
They're
supposed to sleep.
Really?
What? I'm supposed to sleep. Yeah.
I don't feel so guilty.
So now, what do you make of that? Now, what do you make of that?
Who says that? Who says that?
No, I think I want to say it's a halachic concept, and I've seen it many times.
One pasuk says that the 6 days' work shall be done, and you should rest. And then the second process is for 6 days you should work, and then So first process is 6 days you should work. You work will be done, meaning by others, because you're learning Torah. And then on that day, that's a day of rest. But for people who work for 6 days, for them they have the Shabbos as Hashem.
See, Rabbi Lam, he quotes over here, he says, so the Gemara says about the translation of the Torah into Greek, when they made the Septuagint, we know that they had about 70 different, they had 70 translators, and many of the, many words that they translated from Hebrew into the Greek, they changed the meaning. It wasn't a perfect translation. And the miracle was that they all translated into Greek in the exact same way, even though they were in separate rooms. So One of the places where they changed it was, it says, on the seventh day, God finished his work which he made, and he rested on the seventh day. So if God finished his work on the seventh day, that implied that he worked into the Sabbath day. Hence, to avoid this error, they translated, on the sixth day, God finished his work. Even though in the Torah it says he finished his work on the seventh day, they translate it, if you look up in the Septuagint, it says he finished his work on the sixth day. Exactly. So they were worried because we say that he didn't work on the seventh day. So how could we say that? But we have to deal with. So what does the Hebrew mean? We say that he finished his work on the seventh day. So what do we say? We say that the menucha that he created on Shabbos was something. Rabbis answer with a parable, which indicates that the culmination of all creation, the culmination, was created on the Sabbath day, menucha, rest. Obviously, the definition of rest or leisure, is not mere passivity or time off, simple relaxation, but something far more significant and novel, which requires creation and which itself is the culmination of all previous creations. The Greeks could not understand this. The pagan mentality could not grasp that menucha as positive content. They understood that Sabbath as an opportunity to refresh oneself, the better to be able to work the next 6 days. So they didn't think that the Shabbos was good in and of itself. It was only good for the next 6 days. Almost a capitalistic dispensation. I'll let you take one day off, but get a good day rest so that you can produce more the following week. However, the authentic Jewish view is not that the Sabbath was created for the 6 days, but that the 6 days were created for the sake of Sabbath. That, as indicated, the menucha was itself the apex of the order of creation. He quotes the Barbanel, who says this as well. Vayechulu is translated as finished, but that is not its only meaning. What other word do you see in Vayechulu? And in Tchelet, by the way? What word? Tachlis. Tachlit, purpose. Vayechulu also comes from the word tachlit, or purpose. So it's the end, right? That the word end in English could either mean the end of something, like I'm finishing it, or it could mean the purpose of it, right? The meanings, meaning and end. So Rabbi Yehuda Chassid said, one who goes to sleep on Shabbos should not say, let us sleep so that we can do our work when Shabbos is over, but rather let him say, let us rest, for today is Shabbos. Let us rest, for today is Shabbos. For its own sake. So he says, clearly then, the more genuinely Jewish conception is not that we have menucha on the Sabbath in order to better work on the other days, but we work in order to rest, in order to participate in menucha. We want to be able to rest on Shabbos. Now he says, authentic menucha requires that on the Sabbath we direct these creative changes not onto nature, but onto ourselves spiritually and intellectually. Menucha is not a suspension of our creative energies, but a refocusing of our creative talents upon ourselves. The difference between the prohibited malacha and the recommended menucha lies not in the fact of creativity, but in the object of one's creative powers, oneself, for one, or one's environment, the inner world or the outer world. So, here, by simply removing the distractions and the obsession with work, which chokes off creativity during the week, man's innate propensity for self-creativity may come to express itself quite naturally. When Alexander the Great asked Diogenes, Rabbi Lam, he's fantastic. He's amazing.
Read that last line again.
He is.
Read that last sentence again, please.
By simply removing the distractions and the obsession with work, which chokes off creativity during the week, man's innate propensity for self-creativity may come to express itself quite naturally. He's like Rabbi Sachs from 50 years ago.
And he's easy to read.
Yeah, that's true. When Alexander the Great asked Diogenes. When Alexander the Great asked Diogenes whether he could do anything for him, the famed philosopher replied, "Just stand out of my light." Great line. And Chassidim of the Great Rav Nachman of Breslov used to set aside an hour a day known as the dead hour, in which all business would be set aside, nothing structured permitted, and allow the repressed soul to come to the fore, dead to the world and alive to oneself. Now, again, I may be stretching this, but I think this fits into what we were saying before, that sometimes a person will engage in something, and it doesn't contain spiritual content per se, it just contains personal content, okay? You watch a comedy routine, right, by a famous comedian, and you just enjoy it, because it expands you. It makes you feel good, makes you feel good about yourself, as long as it's not objective, it makes you happy. You look at a piece of art, or you listen to music, and the music is not spiritual music, it's just music that gets you going, it just makes you feel good. That itself is worthwhile. It expands you as a person. It changes the way that you function. It stretches your emotional muscles.
I had a conversation similar to this with my Rebbe about 15 years ago before I was deciding whether I was going to do Chazonus or not. And he said, Chazonus is a massage, and Torah is the Ikka. Since you can have a massage, and it's great fun while you're doing it, but it's gone after an hour, and you wonder whether it was worth spending the money. He was a very stark rabbi. It's a very interesting, it kind of connects up with what he's saying here. Like, you enjoyed the comedy routine.
But he didn't say that. I said that.
Right, it expanded you for
right.
But then,
no,
what would have been better?
Now, I should quote the end of the drasha.
Daf Gemara, and he got it. And
look,
would that have held you longer?
Look, I should quote the end of it, and I'll quote this end with this. Second and more important, Judaism provides its classical answer to the ideal utilization of leader time. Okay, so this is going to break everything we said. It is the intellectual way to study of Torah. Mm-hmm. Sabbath was given to Israel in order that they might study Torah. It's true. The Sabbath, both as a specific day and as the model for an ethic of leisure, is the occasion for study. For the Jewish tradition, the study of the Torah is the highest value. It outweighs all other commandments. The moral quality of Torah study is indirect. One need not study only with the specific intention of knowing how to practice, although one must never study with the idea that he will not carry out in practice. That's just saying what the concept of Torah Lishma is. It is the most unusual idea in the history of religion. An entire people is commanded to study not only so that they may know what to believe or how to observe, but because study itself has an innate value. For Jews, the study of Torah is not something you do when you take time out of your normal activity. Rather, what we are wont to call our normal activity is time that we take off, legitimately or illegitimately, from what normative Judaism considers our major activity, the study of Torah. I'll end with that. The idea that Rabbi Lam is expressing at the end, I think, is where do we find our Ikar? That's the end of the day. Where do you associate your main purpose of life? Is it in, you know, watching comedy shows and looking at pieces of art and listening to music? Or is it in Torah and Mitzvot? And that may not be the same thing as what do you spend most of your time doing. It may just be where do you locate yourself.
Easy way out.
If you're being honest, a person has to be honest. I think everybody here, if you're here, then you're the kind of person that wants to be honest with himself. If you find yourself that the Ikar for you is to watch movies, like that's what you go to whenever you have free time, then that's a problem. But if it's something that you like to do and you feel that it doesn't, you know, impact too much on your spiritual personality, then as long as it's in moderation, then it seems to me that that's my view, and that's not everybody's view.
I think everything in moderation is
that's just an easy way out.
What?
The balance and moderation.
No, my point.
Line,
so I'm saying it's not out.
Where you're supposed to be, what Hashem wants from you. You
let me give you a different quote. Okay, let me give you a different
it's
quote.
So easy to say. Yeah, I need to be able to watch.
Let me give you a different quote.
Simon,
let me give you a different quote. Okay, let me. Tell me how you feel about this.
Simon, I think the end of the day is Ikar is learning Torah, and then the other things are leisure. And how you build your time in that leisure is the key. Is it 10 minutes? 10 minutes going for a run, 5 minutes watching TV, 10 minutes spending with time with your kids. I'm just stunning numbers, nothing concrete. But you know, how are you building your time in outside of learning Torah is the whole point.
Let me give you one more quote before we finish. I have to find this audio again. I know it was on YU Torah. There was a debate between Rabbi Meir Schiller. Meir Schiller is a Skver Chassid. Did you go to MTA?
No. MTA.
No, how can you go to MTA? I don't know. You went to YU. MTA is the high school for YU. Rabbi Schiller was a Baal Tshuva. He's a Skver Chassid. He was also for many years the hockey coach for the MTA hockey team. But he's, you know, full garb, full on, you know, black and white, pass. He's a Skver Chassid. He lived in Skver for a while. I don't think he does anymore, but he lived there for a while. And he was having a debate with a different rabbi who was taking the firm position. and they were debating about this topic, about fun. And Rabbi Schiller said something. He said, I refuse to believe that God put, I think he used the example of baseball. He said that God put baseball in the world and didn't tell us not to play it. I refuse to believe that he doesn't want us to enjoy it. And he said about anything, he said, I refuse to believe that God put us there, put it there to trick us. God put beautiful art and beautiful music just to trick us and to make us, you know, waste time, and that he didn't want us to enjoy it. I refuse to believe that it's just a ma'ase satan. If God didn't want us to do it, he would have told us not to do it. Now, that doesn't mean that you spend your whole time doing it. He's just saying, he refuses to believe that you're not meant to enjoy it. How he drives that with the Shulchan Aruch, I don't know.
Rav Stein
his says, point is a very strong point.
I completely agree with his point. Classical music, when you hear a tremendous piece of classical music, it's like, it's godly. But should you be sitting learning Ezu Neshech, or should you be listening to a great piece of Mozart? I don't know.
You should be doing both.
You should always think Shetan
and
Torah.
And in that case, you can actually do both.
That's the fault in Talmud Torah. You're not supposed to spend your whole time studying. That studying is worth more than something else. Not that whatever you're doing else is useless or pointless or doesn't have always chas v'sholom a bad thing.
It's just so much easier to sit and listen to Mozart than it is to go to the Kodak and
I was once watching
a baseball game on TV and I saw Robert Schiller in the crowd.
Yeah?
Yes.
That's funny.
Rav Stein said once that when he was like in his 80s, he said, the day that I don't walk past a television store and there's a basketball game on and I don't look, is the day I'm dead.
Because he used to play basketball last time.
Yeah, yeah.
In his day.
All right, we will stop there. Shkoyach, everybody. To come with a new topic for the next time.